me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is with his disciples here, and he's heading across country. It's the Sabbath. They begin to be hungry, and they cut across the cornfield, and they just begin to pluck some of the ears and eat it. And the Pharisees, who had been watching Jesus and following him around, was trying to catch him in something. So they said, "We finally caught him. They've broken the Sabbath." Now, for the Jews, the Sabbath was and still is very sacred. The Sabbath and circumcision is what makes a Jew a Jew. Circumcision, of course, is their personal commitment to God, but the Sabbath is their outward way of showing their commitment to God. No other nationality has ever worked 6 days and stopped everything completely in honor of God. So the Sabbath was very, very sacred to them. Just after circumcision, the Sabbath, then came the temple. Well, the temple was very sacred to them. Stephen was stoned to death for his assault on the temple. They fought vigorously against Rome in A.D. 70 over the temple when Rome tore the temple down. So the Sabbath was very, very personal to them. And incidentally, when Jesus, they assumed, was breaking the Sabbath is when they decided, we've got to have him put to death. That's what really, really put it over the top was he's broken the Sabbath. So chapter 12 verse 1 says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." Now, they didn't get them for stealing, because gleaning was acceptable in the law. You know, if you couldn't afford to, you could come by and take kind of the... I don't know if you've ever seen when just modern day, to give you an example, you see fields where it looks like just a little bit of patch, like a little corner is left out. It's where they couldn't turn the harvester or whatever around, and rather than spend the gas and energy to go back, they just leave it. Well, in those times, people, not that they were driving the harvester around, but people could come and take those parts, the edges of it, and it was lawful. So they didn't get them for stealing, but they got them for breaking the Sabbath. See, if they plucked that corn, that was harvesting. If they began to husk it, that was threshing. And then if they rubbed it between their hands, that was milling. They had broken the Sabbath law. But Jesus, in verse 3 says, "But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him?" I love this. When we were the youth pastors over a number of years, I always used to tell the youth, know the Scriptures. When Jesus was attacked by Satan, what's the first thing he said? "It is written." He knew the written word. And at the spoken word, Satan must flee. Jesus said, "Have you not read?" Lord, I hope he's not saying that to us. Have you not read? He says that the Old Testament gives an account of David. In verse 4 he says, "How he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests." David was being chased by King Saul and his men, and he went into the house of God and talked to the priest, and the high priest gave him the showbread, the 12 loaves of bread that were placed out there every day. He was given that because it was a situation of life and death. And by the law, as long as it concerned someone's life or death, you could what they would call break the Sabbath. So he says, have you not read what David... Now, again, what he did was he used the David card. And every living Jew just absolutely worshiped their King David. That was their king. He could do no wrong. If he did, they had forgiven him for it. So he said, have you not read what David did? By the way, it was your King David that did that. He says, he broke the Sabbath and everything was okay. Now Jesus is going to tell us here in a minute that He's Lord of the Sabbath. You see, He created the Sabbath. The Creator can do anything He wants with His creation. It's His. He created the Sabbath. Look in Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. There was nothing made that was made that He didn't make. Jesus Christ made everything and He rested. He was the Lord of the Sabbath. He said, I created the Sabbath. But understand what He did. He said, I created it for you. The Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Jews, the rabbis, began to write additions to the law. They made it so cumbersome to keep the Sabbath that it was actually a chore. It became not a day of rest, but a day of we can't do this. I was going over this lesson with my wife and she said, you can't keep the Sabbath. And I said, right. There's no possible way to keep the Sabbath. They had 1,000 additional laws to the one Sabbath day. 1,000 additional laws. After we pray, we'll see some of those laws. Father, I thank You for, Lord, just those who've come out to hear Your Word, and Lord, for this church, Lord, and Lord, just allowing us to be part of it, and Father, that we all neatly fit together, and Father, I just pray, Lord, that Lord, we wouldn't downplay or downtrodden Your people, Lord, but we would see what they've taken out of context from You, and Lord, how great it is to have our rest in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for that. Lord, bless the reading of Your Word. In Christ's name, amen. The Sabbath became so burdensome to the Jews that it was just like, oh no, here comes the Sabbath. And if you wasn't prepared for it, you were going to break the Sabbath. It was just going to happen. You basically had to work double on Friday to prepare for Saturday because you couldn't do anything. Anything. And again, the Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. Sabbath either means rest or intermission. We're to stop down and remember God. Man, it's a good concept. But the rabbis began to put their little twist on it. And again, they put 1,000 extra rules. Now, this was mankind's rules, okay? By the way, Jesus never broke one law. He did not sin. What He and His disciples did in that field, plucking that ear of corn, was not against the law. It was not against God's law. Okay, remember that. If it would have been, He would have stopped His disciples and said, you can't be doing that. He wouldn't have stood around for that. But as me and Charlene got to talking, she said, because I'll verify this in a minute, but the Jewish nationality, they're pretty cunning. Boy, everybody kind of smiled, right? You've heard the term, you know, well, you know, I'll Jew them down. They're pretty cunning. You know what it stems from? It stems from trying to get around the Sabbath. The Sabbath law said you could only go 1,000 paces on the Sabbath. So what they said was, okay, 1,000 paces from your place of dwelling. So you could go 1,000 paces out. You could take 2 meals and put it out there on Friday. So on the Sabbath, you could walk that 1,000 paces to where those 2 meals were, which was your place of dwelling, and you could go another 1,000 paces. They began to try and work their way around it. You couldn't so much as carry a key in your pocket. I'm telling you, I'm going to read some of them here in a minute. And again, I'm not trying to downplay what their religion is. But what a great economy we live in. The economy of grace. Women were forbidden to look in the mirror on the Sabbath because they might see a gray hair and pluck it. And there is no plucking on the Sabbath. Y'all think this is funny? Just wait. I'm going to read to you off a website. So this is pretty modern stuff. This is the Sabbath day. It's done by a rabbi. And he's listed 39 categories. So you can categorize some of these laws so that you don't sin against them, okay? And it says that when it's written down, it looks pretty impossible. That's what he says here at the end of it. He said, written down, this looks like a daunting task. I'll give you some of them. The number one is carrying. This category involves carrying in a public place. The Torah gives an account of a man who was put to death for gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Carrying is really the prototype of all other types of Sabbath work. He says, the definition, such as work in any act, whereas man demonstrates his mastery over nature. God owns everything. So you don't want to, as a man, say, look, you know, I've got this or I can own that. It stemmed from the manna of them gathering manna. God put manna out every day, but on Friday you gathered enough for the Sabbath and you didn't carry any more in or around. He says, a main sign of ownership is that one can take something wherever he pleases. On the Sabbath day, we give up something of this ownership. Nothing can be removed from the house. When a man leaves his house, he may carry nothing but the clothing on his back. It is God, not man, who owns all things. Even such trivial things as a key or a handkerchief must be left at home. Certainly pocketbooks, purses, wallets, keychains may not be carried. The only thing one may carry outdoors are the things that are actually worn. Not by, again, means of dementing this, but my wife began to count and run out of fingers of the things she broke on the Sabbath today, just this morning. By the way, everybody in the room is guilty. You women especially. No. You could, I'm going to skip some of these. The second one is burning, okay? This involves making a fire or causing anything to burn. Even throwing a toothpick into a fire is considered a violation of the Sabbath under this category. The use of fire is one of the prime ways in which man demonstrates his mastery over nature. Indeed, the use of fire is one of the cornerstones of human civilization. It is fire that allows man to extract energy, his most basic requirement from nature. Thus, in a sense, it is also the prototype of Sabbath work. Striking a match or burning on a stove. Oh, by the way, it's prohibited on the Sabbath to smoke. Boy, don't you know them patches are going off yesterday, huh? Come on, Sunday. An automobile engine works by burning gasoline. Turning on the ignition and stepping on the accelerator causes it to burn. It is therefore forbidden to drive a car on the Sabbath. One, heating a piece of metal so that it glows is also in the category of burning. An electric light is turned on. Its filament is heated white hot, producing light. Therefore forbidden on the Sabbath to turn a light on. In general, any use of electricity violates the spirit of the Sabbath since it involves extracting energy from nature. According to many authorities, electricity has the same status as fire with regard to the Sabbath. In any case, the practice of an observant Jew is to avoid turning any electrical appliance on or off. Since a telephone also works by electricity, it also should not be used. This is today, folks, for the Jews. Extinguishing is the third category. This includes extinguishing or lowering a flame in any way. As such, it's the opposite of burning. Thus, for example, one may not turn down the gas on the stove. Similarly, it is forbidden to turn off the lights or any other electrical appliance. So come on, y'all already thinking, what do? You just leave them on. Right? Yeah. So we just leave them on. The Sabbath, however, may be violated wherever there is any possible danger of human life. Therefore, in the case of a fire, anything necessary must be done where life may be endangered. Number four, finishing. This includes completing any useful article, even where no other category of work is involved. It includes all forms of repair and adjustment. I don't have to bother with that one on Sunday. Putting the finishing touches on any article is also in this category. Thus, for example, one may not put new shoelaces into your shoes. Be violating the Sabbath. Any form of adjustment comes under this heading. Thus, one may not wind a clock or set a watch. So much for daylight savings time, huh? We're kind of stuck there. This one really bothered me. Blowing up a balloon or water wings also comes under this category. And here we go back with the, let's get around something. The same is true of setting the sails on a boat. For this reason, the Sanhedrin forbid the riding of small boats on the Sabbath. One may, however, ride in a large ship piloted by a non-Jew. Let them sin. As long as he doesn't not embark or disembark on the Sabbath. There is special rabbinic enactment that swimming is not permitted on the Sabbath. Heaven help you if the boat gets in trouble. You can't swim. Writing includes all forms of writing and drawing, typing, printing, and using a rubber stamp all come under this heading. The main objective is that writing is the keeping of records. Therefore, the spirit of the law forbids any activity normally required a written record. Thus, the Sanhedrin forbid all sorts of business activity as well as marriage and divorce on the Sabbath. Calculations and measurements are also included since they also normally involve writing. I love this one. Gambling and playing games of chance are also included in this category. You can't do that on the Sabbath. But. Right after writing, the next category is erasing. You think I'm making this up? This includes erasing or destroying any form of writing, breaking apart or tearing through letters also is included in the spirit of this category. Although it is permitted to tear a package to get the food inside, this should be avoided when it involves tearing through the writing on the package. It's not funny. Likewise, when the words are stamped on the edge of a book, my wife gave me her library book. When the words are stamped on the edge of a book, if you open those pages, you separate the words. I ain't making this stuff up. Most library books, these are separated when the book is opened, and this should not be done unless the book is urgently needed. I can tell them when they need the New Testament. Cooking. This includes all forms of cooking and baking. So wives, y'all don't have to cook today. Let them non-Jews at the restaurant get in trouble, right? Amen? Even boiling water falls under this category. It also includes any form of heat treatment of non-foods. Thus, melting metal or wax or firing ceramics are all included. The prohibition against cooking does not prevent us from eating hot food on the Sabbath. Indeed, it's a part of the Sabbath joy of eating hot food. However, this must be prepared in such a manner that no act of cooking actually takes place on the Sabbath. They recommend that you put a tin over the stove, not only over the fire, but over the gauges so that you can't turn them up or down. Now, I don't know how you put the pot up there unless you just kind of push it around on there. Work consisted of, according to the rabbis, anything that was heavier than a dried fig. So on the eve of a Sabbath, if you had a couple of dry figs in your hand and the Sabbath approached, you had to drop those. Couldn't do it. Washing. I love this one. This includes washing or bleaching a garment in any manner. It also includes removing any spot or stain from clothing. Wringing out a wet garment also falls under this heading. Now, you wouldn't be washing dishes anyway, but you couldn't wring the rag out when you were done. It just wouldn't happen. Edna, I couldn't help but think of you on all the next categories. Sewing. This includes all forms of sewing and needlework. Pasting, taping, and stapling paper is also included. Thus, one may not seal an envelope nor attach a postage stamp on the Sabbath. Fastening something with a safety pin, however, is permitted since this is only a temporary fastening. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Does this not sound silly? I mean, really? This is breaking the law? Really? Tearing. This includes undoing any form of sewing. It also includes tearing a garment. Separating glued papers falls under this heading. You can't take a stick-it note. You can't peel one of them off. You have to write it on the top and put the whole thing on there. Can't write. Sorry. Knotting. This is a good one. This includes tying any permanent knot. Tying a bow, however, is permitted. Therefore, for example, one may tie his shoes on the Sabbath. Amen? Y'all wonder why I wear boots? It ain't because I can't tie my shoes. After 11, which is knotting, is number 12, untying. This includes untying any permanent knot. If a knot is not made to be permanent, however, it may be untied. This is true even in the permanent type knot. Thus, for example, if one's shoes accidentally become knotted, they may be untied. Praise God. Shaping. This includes cutting any object to a desired shape. Cutting material for a dress would fall under this category. So cutting out of pictures or newspaper articles? No. Can't wait till Sunday night to do your homework. Working wood or metal on a lathe, of course, a meal falls under this heading. Foods are not included in this category and may be cut to be served. Praise God. Plowing. This includes any work to improve the ground. Digging in the garden or fertilizing falls under this heading. It also includes you can't rake your lawn. Planting includes gardening. Also includes anything that encourages plants to grow. Thus, one may not water plants on the Sabbath. Likewise, it is forbidden to place cut flowers in water or even change their water. Really? Really? Now, this is for your day of rest, by the way. Reaping. This includes cutting or plucking any growing thing. Agriculture, again, is the one main way in which man shows his dominance over nature. This category, therefore, also is one of the ones mentioned in the Torah. Such activities as plucking a flower or plucking fruit from a tree fall under this heading. The same is true of mowing a lawn. It was also legislated that we do not handle any growing flowers or plants. It is also forbidden to climb a tree or to smell a growing flower. Praise God. Fruit which falls from a tree on the Sabbath may not be used on the same day. The use of animals as well as plants is forbidden, since there is concern one might forget and inadvertently pluck a branch for use as a switch. This is for your day of rest now. Harvesting. This includes all harvesting operations such as binding grain into sheaves or bales, gathering fallen fruit into piles or placing them into a basket after it also falls under this heading. This is even true for private enclosed yards where carrying is permitted. Threshing is the operation of food separating from its natural container. Y'all stay with me on this one. Don't lose me here. It includes all operations where food is separated from its natural container. Has anybody got there yet? Both solid and liquid foods are included. Prime example is threshing grains, removing it from its husk. Squeezing a fruit for its juice is also included. The same is true of milking a cow. You're taking it from its natural container, putting it in another one. Winnowing is throwing grain up in the air to blow away the chaff. Selecting. Separating unwanted portions of food by hand. Thus, for example, if one is eating berries, he may not pluck out the bad ones before eating the good ones. One may, however, eat the good ones and leave the bad. It is likewise permitted to peel fruits and vegetables for immediate consumption. This category also forbids one to pick the bones out of fish. This is one reason the custom of eating Japhite fish on the Sabbath, since its bones are already removed. If one must remove something inedible, a small amount of food should be removed along with it. The spirit of this category also forbids all sorting or filing activities. Sifting includes, of course, flour or liquid. Grinding, meal grinding. You couldn't grind coffee, pepper, filing metals or crushing substances into mortar. All fall under this heading. Its spirit also forbids the grating of cheeses and vegetables and the grinding of fish and meat as well as herbs used for medicine. The Sanhedrin therefore legislated to forbid any use of non-vital medicines and treatment except for a sick person. An initial exception, however, was made in the case of acute pain and actual illness where necessary medical treatments may be used. Where life is in danger, the Sabbath may be violated. Kneading, of course, primary is batter and cooking, but it also would make it that you couldn't make instant puddings where no cooking is even required. I love this one, combing. This includes combing of wool and cotton, preparing to make it unto thread. Spinning includes thread making or rope making activities. Making felt falls into there. Dyeing. Now this isn't, you can't pass away on the Sabbath. This is dyeing things. Changing the color of any substance, dyeing clothing. Painting and mixing paints and dyes all come under this heading. Is anybody ahead of me? The spirit of the law prohibits the use of lipstick and eyeshadow. However, there are permanent cosmetics that can be put on before the Sabbath and last the entire day. There is a way around it. You just got to put on those other ones on Saturday. Chain stitching, that's out. No knitting, braiding, anything like that. No basket weaving. Warping includes setting up a warp or a loom. Weaving includes weaving operations. Unraveling, you can't take out anything that's been knitted. Building includes all building and assembling activities. All building repairs come under this, even driving a nail into a wall. It also includes pitching any kind of tent. The spirit of the law, stay with me, the spirit of the law even forbids the opening of an umbrella, even when it is not carried outside, since it affords the same protection from the elements as a tent. Demolishing, of course, building anything, taking apart. Trapping includes restricting the freedom of any live creature. Prime example would be trapping animals. You cannot catch an insect in one's hand. That falls under this heading. Shearing. Removing hair, wool, and feathers from any living creature. I got that. You don't need to be shearing on the Sabbath. But it also includes such things as hair cutting, shaving, cutting one's fingernails. Women, plucking of the eyebrows, not on the Sabbath. The spirit of the law forbids the combing of hair on the Sabbath. Since this normally pulls out hair, using soft brush, however, is permitted. You can go there. Deadly snakes. Oh, slaughtering. This includes killing of any creature. Swatting a fly or mosquito is also included, as it is wounding or bruising an animal or a human being. Deadly snakes and wasps, which pose a danger to human life, may be killed on the Sabbath. This is another case where human life overrides all considerations. Skinning, of course, you can't skin animals. You can't tan animals. And smoothing is the polishing up of it. Can't shine your shoes, not on the Sabbath. Marking, again, you can't write or do anything. A concluding word. After reading through the 39 categories of work, you might have come to feel that keeping the Sabbath is an impossibly complex task. Pretty much. It's a daunting task. Look back in Matthew chapter 12. Verse 5 says, Jesus says, "Or have you read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" They would kill and sacrifice animals on the Sabbath. Man, what a daunting task. He would have to bring the meal together and mix the oil and the flour and do everything that the law said he couldn't do on the Sabbath. And then he would have to kill that animal and cook that animal all on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, "Have you not read how your priests profane the law in the temple?" So he's gone against them upholding the Sabbath over God. Verse 6 he says, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known this, what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath day." The Sabbath was made for a day of rest. We saw that. Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, says, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." He says, remember it. It wasn't established then. God established the Sabbath after creation. But the Jews thought that they would find rest in that day until they burdened it so much up that you couldn't do it. Your burden now was guilt inside. I've broken the Sabbath. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, I've broken it. But I said earlier, our rest isn't in a day. It's in a person. Amen. That person is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our rest. The Sabbath, in the spirit of the law, is 6 days and a rest. Your rest may be Thursday. Again, the Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. We worship God on the first day of the week. This isn't a day off. Oh, well, it's the only time I have to spend at home or with my family. Guess what? Try spending time at church with your family. It's a lot better deal. Works out a lot better in the long run. Our rest is found in Jesus Christ. The Jewish Sabbath was only a picture. It was a picture of rest, but they didn't see it. He said, "Have you not read? I'm the rest." The picture was the anticipated, the rest based on Jesus Christ's work on the cross. When they gave Him vinegar, He looked up and said, "It is finished. Everything is done. Now we can rest. We don't have to worry about breaking the law." Praise God. Some of you women are thinking, "Whoo, that saved us from next week." Right? Man, we don't have to worry about that. Our rest is in that Jesus Christ took the place of our sin. What an economy. Is that not great? Praise God. They're praising God because they're allowed to get around the Sabbath. Praise God that we don't have to worry with the Sabbath. It's been taken care of. Our rest is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for, Lord, Your Word. We thank You for the rest and the peace we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we all would enter into that rest. Father, that we would stand on that premise. Lord, we do pray for the Jews and Lord, for Israel. Lord, that Lord, You'd give them safety. Father, again, Your time clock. And Father, we do thank You for the economy that we live in. Lord, that Christ died for our sins. Lord, we thank You for that. We give You the praise and honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen.